a buck for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Eric Barger, and we're going to be talking about a book. And a book that has been certainly compared with Paul Bunyan's A Pilgrim's Progress, a book that certainly was at the top of the New York Times bestseller list for 50 consecutive weeks. And the amazing thing is that it's said to be a Christian book. What would a Christian book be doing at the top of the New York Times bestseller list over a period of some 50 weeks? Well, it's a book called The Shack. And, of course, lots of Christians are buying this. They're selling it to other Christians. It's sold in Christian bookstores. It is sold by Christian book clubs. It is being used as the basis for study groups in churches across America. Many sermons have been given on this. I know one of the largest evangelical churches in my region actually invited the author of this book, The Shack, to come to speak there. The largest Christian school in the Monterey Bay area invited the author of The Shack to come and speak. And this book is, well, this book is heresy, totally heretical, with a total destruction of the values of the Christian doctrine. Because, you see, there is an attack on Christianity today, and most people don't understand it. But one of the best analyses I've seen of this certainly is in Eric Barger's expose of The Shack. So, Eric, why don't you pick up the truth, pick up the story and tell our listeners how you got involved and what's wrong with this Christian book?
Well, Dr. Stan, it's good to talk to you again. And, you know, frankly, I just didn't want to write another book about another book. And it was never my intention to pick this up and to make a DVD out of it and start speaking on it out of my seminar series. But, you know, it's one of those things I just couldn't get away from. The fact that The Shack is so popular shows that there's such a low regard for the scriptures, and really that's a key point I want to make at the beginning and maybe throughout the program today. The fact that the Shack has so many problems in it, it shows that Christians who would accept it so readily without thinking it through aren't really considering what the scripture says to it. So I have grave concern for the way the church is treating the Bible and the truth of the scriptures, and if we don't have that to go by, we don't have much to hang on to, brother.
Well, I think we're in real trouble today. I think the Christian church is under attack today. And the average Christian doesn't even understand it because he doesn't understand doctrine and he doesn't understand what it says in this book, which undermines everything we believe as Christians. And I believe that's why it's been pushed by the New York Times and by many facets of the Christian religion, which have been thoroughly infiltrated by those who would destroy the very foundations of our faith. So pick up the story, really, how you got into this, and of course, why this issue is so vitally important, and what's wrong with The Shack? After all, doesn't it talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost?
Well, sure it does, and we're going to talk about several different problematic areas that we see in The Shack, and we're not besmirching the fact that the author has written a pretty clever book here. I have read it just recently for the third time, and I'm listening to the CDs of it as well as I go along. I'm working on writing a book about this. But just because something is sold in Christian bookstores or accepted in Christian circles, is being preached from or preached about from pulpits or used in Sunday school or small groups, doesn't mean that it's Christian. We're warned in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days perilous times will come, and that inside the church there will be people that have a form of godliness but deny the power of the gospel. And when you look at The Shack, it doesn't present the gospel message that we know from Scripture. And all I'm saying is we need to take everything that comes along, no matter if it's number one on all the bestseller lists, no matter if the Shaq movie becomes the biggest selling movie of all time and there is a major motion picture underway right now.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this afternoon is Eric Barger, and we're going to be talking about a new motion picture. It's certainly very, very prominent here in this country. The book was at the top of the New York Times book bestseller list for 50 consecutive weeks. It's called The Shack. The largest evangelical church in our community had invited, or somebody at the church had invited, the author of the book, Mr. Paul Young, to come to speak at the church. The largest Christian school in Monterey Bay area had invited the author of the book to come and speak at their church, at their school. And most Christians are not discerning enough, and there's certainly very little leadership out there, warning people that this book is frank heresy. Well, we have with us today Eric Barger, who has put together a wonderful DVD on the subject. What is the title of the DVD, Eric?
It's The Death of Discernment, How the Shack Became the Number One Bestseller in Christianity.
And The Death of Discernment, we carry it because we think it's vitally important. But you go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, you know, even though the Shack has been sold in so many Christian places and endorsed by so many Christian radio and TV celebrities and so on, there's a reason why 26 publishers turned the Shack down before it was finally self-published. As I said a second ago, just because it's sold in Christian places doesn't make it biblically sound. Just because it may speak of a God or a Trinity or a Jesus doesn't make it biblically sound. Just because it may have touched many lives in a very emotional way doesn't necessarily make it emotionally sound. We need to funnel and test everything through the strainer of the scriptures to see if it really is the truth. We are living here in the last days, and because we're in the end of days, the scripture repeats to us again and again the admonition to test everything and to beware that there will be false teachers who will come along inside the church. In fact, Jesus warned us 14 times about false teachers and false teaching inside the church, as well as did Peter and Paul and Jude and John and so many of the other writers in the New Testament. And certainly this book does speak about what appears to be the Trinity. But I ask, where is the discernment in the church if indeed this is talking about the same Trinity that we see reflected in the Scripture? Now, the Shack itself is a novel, and we admit that up front. And if we're just willing to say, well, it doesn't really matter because it's only a novel and not a theological book, then we don't understand that the author himself has made the point.
Hold that thought, Eric. We'll be back in just a moment. Talking on The Shack. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Eric Barger. We're talking about his new DVD, The Death of Discernment. And, of course, it's an expose of The Shack, The Death of Discernment. But Eric was just saying that the author himself had said, and what did the author say?
He himself said that he knows that the book teaches theology. So he's aware that he's expressing his own theological opinions, which are anything but orthodox. And I have confronted him and spoken with him in a 15 to 20 minute private conversation, asking him about his beliefs, wanting to hear it right from his mouth. And, you know, didn't really get very far, but I felt it was a fair thing to do to go and hear him and to be able to speak with him. And I had that opportunity for a few minutes and was able to talk with him. But he is readily admitting in his interviews and the articles and so on that have been written about him, that he knows the book is teaching theology. But the theology that we get from the Shack is anything but orthodox Christian theology. And folks, this stuff matters. Let's never forget that this stuff, what we believe, the things that we say comprise Christianity, matter. Right at the very beginning of the book, you find out that a character that we now understand as God is reduced to passing notes to the main character in the book, whose name is Mac. And Mac has gone through a very traumatic life experience where his six-year-old daughter was kidnapped and murdered. Her body was never found. And he gets a note in his mailbox that he is to go back to the shack where the murder allegedly took place on a wintry afternoon. And when he goes there, suddenly everything turns into springtime instead of winter. and the shack turns into a wonderful log cabin, and God is then introduced to him as a large African-American woman named Alusia. Jesus is there as a carpenter with a tool belt on, and the Holy Spirit is an Oriental woman named Sarayu. And so when you look at this and you understand what's happening, this is a replacement to the Trinity that we see represented in the Scripture. I asked Paul Young about the idea that he has created God in the image of a man or a human, and he scoffed at me and told me that the Romans chapter 1 passage I was bringing up had nothing to do with what he had done, that it was only against idol worship. And he said, do you suppose anybody's going to worship the papa of the shack? Because this African-American woman is also called papa, which is very hard to talk about because of the terms going back and forth from male to female. But the scripture is clear that no man has seen God. John chapter 1 clearly brings that out to us. And John 4, Jesus expands on this more and says, God is spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say those that worship her. Over and over, though, the shack says that God is both male and female and doesn't prefer one or the other. Yet we know that God, in his hierarchical fashion, has shown us that he is trying to portray or is intending to portray himself to mankind in the male gender. We are the bride of Christ. You and I, Dr. Stan, as well as every woman who's listening to us right now who is truly born again. And God, of course, Jesus is our husband. This is the way this is looked at when you look at it theologically. But the shack tears down all of the things that the Scripture teaches about the person of God and brings God down to earth, making God into something that the Scripture does not make God out to be.
Well, I think it's really very interesting. When you read the book, there's an aura of mystery in it, sort of like there's a secret there you've got to learn further down the line. You're drawn into it. You empathize with the hero of this because, of course, he's lost his daughter. He's emotionally involved, wants to know what happens. But, of course, you have to get into the book quite a ways before they begin to destroy Christian theology. And the book is designed to destroy Christian theology, certainly of Paul Young, who wrote the book, was actually trained in the seminary, but he repudiated traditional Christianity, and he's working very hard to undermine it, and that's why they're going to make this into a major movie production, and certainly with God looking pretty much like Aunt Jemima, but you go right ahead.
Well, that's exactly right, and he does know what he's doing, and there's no doubt that he has a bent against organized church, organized Christianity, against traditional Christianity. And you know what? I'll admit the failings we've seen all around us inside the Christian church throughout the ages, but that doesn't in any way bemoan the fact that the Scripture is true, that it is God's word to mankind, and that it's up to us to make the decision we will follow it. Paul Young was trained for 3 years at Canadian Bible College up in Canada. I myself have spoken in that Bible college on more than one occasion. I don't believe he learned those things there. But he graduated and got his degree from Warner Pacific College in Portland, Oregon. That's where I heard him speak last year, 3 times in 2 days. And that's where I also confronted him about the fact that the goddess figure that he has created for God to be comes from Polynesian and Hawaiian cultic religions. And I very quickly found out about that as I was doing research. I asked him if he knew anything about it. He told me he'd never heard of that before. I find it very hard to believe since his family were missionaries in New Guinea at the time. And so Paul Young has constructed a God that's very much closer to Mormonism than to biblical Christianity. And to a certain extent, he's done the same thing with the Holy Spirit character. The Holy Spirit character in the book appears to come from some Hindu and occult connections as well. Sarayu is a mystical river in ancient India and related to the deity Kali, and he has built her in as the Holy Spirit character. And many Kabbalists, by the way, in occultic Kabbalism, view the Holy Spirit as being female and talk about her as being the mother spirit. So this has its basis more in the cults and the occult than it does in biblical Christianity. And to the church, I just say, I know that some people out there think that we shouldn't make God into a character or a figure of a man, but the Scripture very clearly says that that's who God has presented himself to be. Paul Young made the statement in an interview, Dr. Stan, made the statement that he wanted this character of God to be taught to his kids. He said, I wanted this in the beginning. I don't want my children to grow up with an idea that God is a Gandalf with an attitude or a Zeus or some big white guy, and that's what we have in Western theology. I frankly have never thought about God as some big white guy on a cloud up there or with a long flowing beard. That is not my conception. The Scripture doesn't give us that. That may be somebody else's conception, but because he so wanted to break with those traditions, because he felt so abandoned by his parents, and he's very open about this, he believes his parents abandoned him as a child because they were dedicated to the ministry, and because of that, he was raped by the natives his parents were trying to minister to in New Guinea. He has an event, and one that is painful for me. It's painful for me to know what he's gone through. I hurt for him. But that in no way can excuse the theological content of the book and the way the book will be portrayed to the world. That will be the key right there. If any pastor out there thinks this is not a big deal, then how will you explain to your congregation when this movie becomes number one? How will you explain to the seeker in your congregation that God is not female when they've seen this on the big screen with surround sound? These are things that should concern each and every one of us today.
I certainly share your concern, and I think it's vitally important that people understand that there is a great deal of theology in The Shack, even though it's presented as a novel, and people say, oh, it's only a story. And yet, Christians are buying cases of these books, and certainly somebody very close to me sent me a copy of this for Christmas, thinking it was a great theological exposition of what Christianity was about. But it has nothing to do with Christianity. It has everything to do with undermining Christian faith and Christian belief.
It may be Christian-like in the way it's presented, but it's certainly not orthodox nor biblical. And once again, if we don't have a higher view of the Scriptures and a standard to hold ourselves to and to hold up our belief system to, then we really don't have anything to base the last 2,000 years of our faith on.
Well, would you like to talk a little bit about this concept of universalism? Most Christians don't really even understand universalism, but certainly we know that many so-called Christian leaders do, and that is that everybody goes to heaven. Doesn't matter whether you're Christian, Buddhist, atheist, you know, a Brahmin, a Muslim. Why, everybody's got to go to heaven, you know, because God loves everybody, and there is no, certainly, a judgment at the final day. So what is this idea of universalism, and how does that fit into this book?
Well, this is obviously a very popular thought in some church circles. It's something that some once mainline or once evangelical Bible-believing, but now heretical denominations have bought into. But the idea of universalism has been out there quite a while, and there are a couple of different types of universalism. In fact, in the research I did on The Shack, I decided that universalism needed its own treatment as well. And I have an hour and 20-minute DVD we put together on this called Universalism Is Everyone Already Saved? And folks can log on our website and look at our materials and download all of our articles. And, of course, if they want any of the DVDs such as that one, they can get it. I encourage them to get the Shack DVD, The Death of Discernment, from your ministry, and really appreciate you carrying that. But we have one on universalism, and part of the content of it, I think, is pretty important. One of the facts I found out about universalism, not only do we have the type that says that every religion leads to God, but we have a type of reconciling universalism that claims that when Jesus went to the cross, he then saved everyone without any act of faith or being born again without any repentance from sin. Now, if folks think that's really far out, the U.S. Religious Landscape Survey, which was a huge poll, a poll of 35,000 Americans, it was taken last June in 2008 by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, stated that 83% of mainline Protestants believe there are multiple paths to God, and a whopping 57% of evangelical church attendees say they believe other religions can lead to eternal life.
And of course, if that is true, then we don't need a savior. I mean, everybody's got to get there. And there is no reason for missionaries to go out and risk their lives throughout the world trying to bring people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We'll be back in just a moment with Eric Barger, The Death of Discernment. Well, Eric, go right ahead.
You know, the idea that everybody is saved regardless of what they believe or even if they believe, that they're now made righteous somehow, is what Paul Young teaches in the book. Now, his editors on their own website to this very day make the statement that when they got the manuscript, they saw this in it and they removed it. But myself and others who have read the book see they didn't get it all out. He still does allude to the idea of universal reconciliation, the idea there's no need for repentance, there's no judgment for sin, and the church's only mission is to announce that all is well, that everybody is saved. I believe you're going to have Dr. DeYoung on, or maybe you've already had him on the air.
No, he'll be on next week.
It'll be great. Folks, you do not want to miss Dr. James DeYoung. He is a terrific authority about universalism, a man who I've become acquainted with and who I really appreciate, and he was a friend of Paul Young. They were in a think tank together in Portland of intellectuals who would get together and discuss different issues. And he can tell you that he knows from the inside that Paul Young is certainly accepting the ideas of universalism. We have a long article that Dr. DeYoung wrote, linked to our website at ericbarger.com, that folks can go and get and read. And I think it's an issue that Dr. Stan, that Christians need to be aware of. I believe that universalism may indeed be the next huge heresy that comes inside evangelical circles. You know, when you begin to look at the book, you begin to see it. At one spot in the book, and let me see if I can find the page. Here it is. It says that, and this is God or Papa in the book, the goddess figure speaking. This is from Paul Young's manuscript. Those who love me come from every stream that exists. They were Buddhists or Mormons. They were Baptists or Muslims, Democrats, Republicans, and many who don't vote or who are not a part of any Sunday morning or religious institution. I have followers who are murderers and may be self-righteous. Some are bankers or bookies, Americans, Iraqis, Jews, and Palestinians. And then he says, and this is the key, I have no desire to make them Christians, but I do want them to join me or join in their transformation. Now, anybody who's researched the emergent church knows that that's emergent jargon. Now, Mac, the main character, goes on and asks God, or Papa, or the goddess, it's hard to talk about this, but asks the goddess for clarification. He says, what do you mean, that all roots lead to you? And not at all, smiles Jesus. It says, most roads don't lead anywhere, but it does mean that I will travel any road to find you. That's page 182 of Paul Young's book. Dr. Stan, that's simply not true. All roads lead somewhere. Every path, every religious idea leads somewhere. It either leads to heaven or hell in its origin or in its final outcome of its belief. And so what he's saying here is that a lot of roads are just dead ends, that there's no recompense for sin, that there's no problem with your belief system. You could leave whatever you want. But the scripture clearly teaches that every road leads somewhere. I've said often that believing in universal salvation doesn't in itself send an authentic Christian to hell. But if we believe it and we tell others of it, it will send other people there. That's why this is important, that Christians get a handle on what we believe about these things. And the scripture's clear. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 7, and I could give you probably a couple of dozen scriptures that we use in the Universalism DVD. Matthew 7, Jesus says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Eric was just pointing out that at one point, of course, Matt asked Jesus, you know, well, do all lead, uh, uh, all roads lead to you? And he said, no, most, Jesus replies, no, most roads don't lead any place. But I will go out and then try to find people or try to bring them in. And basically, of course, this is totally contrary to the Christian scriptures. And this idea that everybody's got to go to heaven, that there's no requirement at all. Of course, we're told in the scriptures that, you know, broad is the way leads to perdition, but certainly narrow is the way that leads to heaven, and only few will find it. And narrow is the way, straight is the way. But, of course, most people are going to take the broad road. And what this book encourages is that you don't even have to be a Christian. You don't even have to believe in Christianity. You're going to get to heaven anyway. And, of course, this is a totally heretical view. And this is, but what Paul Young is using his book to push. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes, exactly. In fact, I ask him face-to-face, just in this private conversation that I mentioned, I ask him, are you a universalist? Looking back on that question and the way he answered it, of course, he scoffed at me and said no. And I should have asked him, are you now or have you ever been a believer in reconciling universalism, or what's commonly called as Christian universalism? I have trouble calling it Christian universalism, because that's kind of like saying Christian cocaine or Christian pornography. You know, the words don't go together. But it's commonly called Christian universalism in those circles. And if I would ask him that question, he would have been faced with telling me that, yes, he indeed had embraced that at one point. But he is very cognizant of the idea that he once was a universalist, or he still is a universalist, or he has some of those leanings, and he's trying to deflect people away from those ideas. In fact, some of these interviews, we've seen him in two interviews on TV and one in print, where out of the blue, without anybody asking him the question, he volunteers that he's not a universalist. But the truth is, he believes in universal salvation. That is universal salvation for everyone. But, you know, that's not the height of the heresy that we see in the book. There are several other points. One would be the way the Shack treats the crucifixion. Now, if there's not an important thing in Christianity, let me tell you, that's one of the most important points that we have in the Christian faith. Page 95 of the Shack, Mac, the lead character, notices the scars on her wrist. That's on Papa, the Papa goddess's wrist, like he now assumes are on Jesus' wrist. And this is the idea that God went to the cross and died along with Jesus. This is a long debunked heresy called Patripassianism. And yet Paul Young has brought this up, and I'm shocked of how many intellectuals have bought into this and don't understand that this also alludes to modalism, and the idea that God appears in different characters in different places and so on, doesn't realize the distinction between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, on page 96 of the book, Young's Papa Goddess teaches that God indeed died on the cross. It says we were all there together. This is God's words talking about Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. And Young publicly justifies this false doctrine, teaching about it when he goes out in person. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, he uses that as a justification. And it is so far off the mark of good theology. He has denied the atonement. He was on radio in Burlington, Iowa a couple of months ago and denied the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. This is another common thread inside the emergent church movement. And he's out telling people at his audiences that praying didn't work when he was going through all the pain of the many years trapped in his own shack, as he talks about. He said praying didn't work, fasting didn't work, reading the Bible didn't help. I thought to myself when I heard that, I wonder how many seekers there are sitting there in the audience that say, well, that about does Christianity in for me, because it sounds to me like none of that stuff works. Only when I accept this goddess figure that is now being portrayed by this man up on the platform will I find any hope and peace. This should be a concern to everybody out there who cares about the souls of the lost and cares about those around us that we know are lost and dying. He goes on and does more damage to the Trinity. On page 99, he says, when we three spoke ourselves into human existence as the Son of God, we became fully human. So he claims that that the Holy Spirit and God became human with him. And you just can't make that square with the Scripture. And there are others that are pointing this out, and I'm thankful for it. Tim Challies and Dr. Albert Moeller and Dr. Michael Youssef, who I've spoken to about this issue, and others. And thankfully, there are others pointing it out. But we need to be blowing a trumpet, folks, to our friends, because this is a hot topic. It's one that's going to come up at home Bible studies and in small groups. It's going to come up in the foyer of your church, and it may come up in the pulpit.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Eric Barter. Of course, his DVD is The Death of Discernment, the Death of Discernment. And what we're really seeing is certainly a massive apostasy occurring within the Christian church today, as people become increasingly confused about what the basic Christian message is. And we're told in the latter days there's going to be a great falling away, and I believe that falling away is coming today, don't you, Eric?
Definitely happening today, and the Scripture talks about the great apostasy. That's the word apostasia in the Greek, the word we see in King James translated into the two words falling away in 2 Thessalonians, and that's exactly what we see happening today. It's not that we're hoping for it, it's not that we're wishing for it, but we do notice these things going on, and if we see these things, we better be able and willing to test everything that comes along. And that's a great point to bring in right here, is that Paul Young never uses the Bible to make any of his assertions or his points inside his book, and only does he do so out of context when I've heard him speak live and in person. Yet what this book has done, Dr. Stan, and something that really concerns me, it's given him a vast venue to be able to speak to the Christian world. And how many pastors do we see who have bought into this and allowed him to have their pulpits? We've heard of him being at large Christian conferences. If he was preaching Orthodox Christianity, I'd be applauding him. That's the key. We're not against the person. But we're talking about what this fellow is now able to accomplish, and the goal, obviously, is not to bring Orthodox Christianity before the people to see the lost change and their lives change for eternity. I'm concerned for the people who would listen to him, who would take up what he has said, but I'm just as concerned for the church who doesn't recognize what is happening all around us.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Eric Barger, and we're really talking about the great apostasy that is sweeping across the church as people turn away from sound Christianity and embrace a book like The Shack, which, of course, professes to be a Christian book, but it is not. It's totally heretical, and it is designed to change the precept of people. And unfortunately, there are very, very few ministers, very, very few people of the cloth that are speaking out against this heretical book that is leading so many people away from the truth. Well, now, Eric, why don't you go ahead and get your telephone number out, tell people about your website and how they can get in touch with your ministry. And I would point out, if you're out in the listening audience and you have a question about this subject, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I will tell you, this is a very emotional book. It really touches so much of what you believe. And many people say that they've gotten tremendous solace out of this. They feel so much better after having read the book. It's had a spiritual impact on them, and it really has. But the problem is, what sort of impact, and where is that impact going to lead them? Eric, you go ahead and get out your telephone number, your website, if you're out there in the listening audience, and you have a question for Eric, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, I will give my phone number and web address, but I want to comment on something you said that I think is so important. We're not saying that this book has not touched people emotionally, but we need to discern between our emotions being touched by something that's righteous and something that's unrighteous. Just because the book may bring about good results does not mean the hand of God is on this book. Just because it's sold all over the place doesn't mean the hand of God is on this book. And that, I think, should be a real key ingredient in the thinking we have about things like The Shack. And it's not going to be the last book of its kind or the last movie of its kind that will come along to have this kind of an impact, and that will bring division, and that will also bring deception and delusion in. Now, as far as contacting us, I travel full-time across the U.S. and Canada. This is our 26th year full-time traveling ministry. I go to local churches, conferences, Christian schools and universities, and would love to entertain any indication that people would want to have us come to minister in their locale. I travel, like I said, nationwide. You can go to our website, which is really an information resource. There's over 1,000 pages of documentation. In fact, a complete copy of my last book is up on the web free of charge for people to be able to download or read or print, and we've done that so we can touch people around the world in places where they're not able to access Christian books or even able to afford them. And so if you want all that information and plus, of course, a way to contact us, go to ericbarger.com, E-R-I-C-B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com, and you can access all of that. For folks who don't have Internet access, they can call our office, and if we're not there, leave a message. That phone number is 214-289-5244, area code 214-289-5244. We are headquartered in the Dallas, Texas area, but we'll be glad to help anybody with information or documentation or certainly a request for speaking engagement. But this is full-time for us. It's what I've done all these years, and Dr. Stan, you and I have spoken to conferences before together and kind of how we met, and we had the same publisher at one point, and God's been very good, and just grateful that we can do what he's asked us to do. I said to a friend of mine on the phone today earlier, I wish God had called me to preach the Sermon on the Mount, but I know he's called me to be in a discernment ministry. He's called us into this kind of ministry, and I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to be able to fulfill that calling.
And I'm grateful that you're out there as well, because I think Eric's approach to The Shack is so vitally important. As you read the book, you know something's wrong, but you're not quite sure what it is. And you get so emotionally involved reading the book that you don't really have the time to say, well, what's wrong with this? Well, Eric has analyzed it, and his analysis in the DVD, The Death of Discernment, is vitally important for any Christian who's worried about what's going on in our country today, because as you destroy the validity of the Scriptures, why, of course, you destroy the very foundation upon which the liberty of this nation and the liberty of the world is established. And believe me, there is an attack on Christianity today, both from within and from without the church. But certainly any book that's on, I guess, certified by the New York Times, you know very well, is not going to be a favor in Christianity. We've seen the popularity of Angels and Demons and the Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown's book. And, of course, this is an attack on the beliefs of the Catholic Church. But, of course, The Shack is a very, very skillful attack on the beliefs of the Protestant Church, and yet so few people are speaking out against this. Well, what are some of the other points that you make in your DVD, that things that people should really be wary of as they read this book? Because once these things have been pointed out and then you read the book, they just sort of jump out at you.
It is a very skillful attack, as you said. One of the things I bring out that you're into the book and very emotionally involved and so on. You're 80 pages in before you begin to see the theology. before any hint of it comes out. And then for the next 100 pages, it's nothing but one assault upon the Word of God after another. And as you pointed out, you know, it goes right back to the Garden of Eden. Hath God said the serpent. It's an attack upon what God's Word says about the validity of the actual Word of God. And this is exactly what we see going on, not only in this book, but in so much of the emergent thinking church that we see around us. You know, to folks who may be skeptical still, and I'm not sure how much time we have left, Dr. Stan, but these are two points we need to talk about. If I haven't said anything in this interview so far to convince anybody, I hope that when we talk about the shack on salvation and the shack about the idea of sin, that this will convince you. Is Jesus the only way to be reconciled to God? Now, in the book, the Jesus of the shack says to Mac, the main character, I am the best way any human can relate to Papa or Sarah you. I am the best way, he says. Well, the Bible clearly states in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not Jesus plus Buddha or Jesus plus nice feelings or Jesus plus whatever we think. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that unlocks the keys of death and hell and allows us access into the presence of God. It is Jesus and his shed blood. He's not the best way. He is the only way to God. Now, about sin, the Papa character in the book says, I don't need to punish people for sin. Sin is its own punishment, devouring you from the inside. It's not my purpose to punish it, says God. It's my joy to cure it. And it sounds so good. But that's a glaring half-truth from the universalistic point of view. And that's on page 120 in the book, that God doesn't punish sin. As I've said, he is now publicly proclaiming he does not hold, this is the author I'm talking about, to the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. He is defending his ideas by saying there's a great debate going on in theological circles right now about the atonement. And what he's talking about is the denial of the atonement of Jesus Christ and the denial of hell, the denial of eternal judgment, and the denial of any problem with sin by the emergent church community. This big debate he's talking about is all coming from the emergent church. They say that Jesus was killed by man, not for man, and that he was a perfect model of sacrificial servanthood. Yet we know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. You know, folks, it comes back to us deciding that we're going to follow what the Scripture says and the Scripture alone. Galatians 1:8 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9 says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then that which ye have received, let him be accursed. We're to accept only the faithful gospel as presented to us in the Word of God that's withstood the 2,000-year test of history and time. People have come and gone trying to tear down the Word of God. And we have to come back to say that is the only light and the only hope we have by following what the Scripture says.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Rory calling from Watsonville. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Rory, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Stan. Hey, I wonder how Mr. Young deals with Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4, and says, the Lord has made all things for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. That probably doesn't square real nice with all the touchy-feely.
That makes you feel uneasy, you know, doom, talk about that. They don't talk about that in the show.
No, in fact, I got to tell you, I was, you know, I live in Santa Cruz County, and I was there when all the grand shack stuff was sweeping the community here, what, 5-6 months ago. Somebody gave a copy to my wife. She was disturbed by just the whole idea of this guy's daughter being killed, and she didn't know it was an allegory or a fiction. She thought it was real, and she felt really ripped off and violated when she found out that it was fiction. We have small children still. And anyway, so long story short, I just cracked the book open that a friend had, and my eyes fell to the page. I don't remember. I have to go back and look for it. But when this main character is talking to one of the other individuals about institutions, and you know, it's a church and institution, and this person that's being portrayed as God says, no, I don't like institutions, it's a relationship, and blah, blah, blah. And he talks about the trifecta of evil, the economy, politics, and one other thing, and this entity that's being portrayed as God the Father saying, that's bad, it's evil, and that's, nothing good comes from that. And I'm paraphrasing, but your guests will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, in fact, that's in the DVD, may I add, as well. Yeah,
and it's like, they just jumped out, and it's like, you got instituted government. What nonsense is this?
Well, these folks are almost into radical social injustice. This is, again, emergent theology and thinking coming out.
Yeah, well, they should reemerge back to where they came from. Because, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, it's just nonsense. Yes?
I asked Paul Young face to face. I said, you know, if you believe that people are all redeemed in the end, and I said, it sounds to me like you believe that that sin doesn't have a penalty, that sin is its own penalty. I said, what do you do with Revelation 22 and those who were cast into the lake of fire? That doesn't sound like everybody's saved. And I have asked a couple of times. I've debated universalists, and I asked in one of those debates that question, and that was the end of the debate because they were so inflamed at the idea that I would think the Scripture is the only thing to think about. And, of course, that's the whole deal to me. If it doesn't say in the Scripture, how do we know if it's true or not?
Amen to that. Oh, anything else?
Sounds like the day of doom.
Well, exactly. we're in real trouble, Rory, as you know, but you've been listening to our program for a long time. Anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
Yeah, just what was his response, Mr. Young's response, when you asked him about that?
You know, I don't think I got a response. I went, obviously it wasn't being recorded, it was just he and I in a private conversation, but I went back to my seat as quickly as I could and wrote notes. I don't remember that he actually responded to me on that, but that would be, if I was him, I wouldn't respond to me either.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks very much, Rory. God bless. And our telephone again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, our recurrent theme here at Radio Liberty is to point out that there is a war on Christianity. There is a conspiracy against God. It's well organized. It's very well financed. It involves some of the key people, certainly in the liberal camp, but it involves some of the key people in the conservative camp as well, who are there to undermine the very fabric of Christianity and confuse the children of God so that certainly when the time comes, we've got to make an important decision or read a book like the Shack, we won't understand what it's all about and we'll be swept along with the emotional appeal without understanding the heretical ideas that are laid out in the book. Well, what sort of response have you gotten, Eric, from the people that you've talked to and have seen the DVD?
I've been pretty amazed with the positive response. Of course, some of the negatives may never take the time to contact me, but the response on the DVD has been terrific. This DVD and my DVD on the Emergent Church have been the two biggest sellers we've ever had. And I didn't produce it for that reason, but it just shows that people are hungry for this material and they want answers to give to their friends. And we've had some great feedback from people about it. You know, I think it's important that we just have answers on hand. If our friends are reading this book, we need to know what to say to them. One thing that has bothered me, and I've already made the point in earlier in the program, is that how many Christian leaders have bought into this book seemingly thinking nothing of it. And it really is a telling point to the lack of depth and the lack of dedication to the Scripture that I see happening now in Christian circles. I have a friend back in the Midwest, a very seasoned saint, who is now defending the Shack, seeing that there's nothing wrong with it and that I must have misread it and that kind of thing. This is what he was saying 2 weeks ago. Now he's saying, well, maybe he's got a point. So this isn't something that necessarily people may turn their hearts about overnight. But I suggest with some prayer and with some good information, we give people a fighting chance at making a better decision. And that's what our ministry is all about. When I go out and speak live, I know I'm not going to convert everybody, not only to Christ, but to my way of thinking. I just hope that God will, by His Holy Spirit, work on their hearts, and little by little, slowly but surely, they'll make a decision to use to make better decisions about the input they put into their lives and the things they accept as truth or error.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I have a question. I want to ask Mr. Barger if he's compared the teachings of the Shack to the teachings of Freemasonry.
No, not per se, but I know them both. I just don't see a direct correlation the two, but my advice is stay away from both.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to just add, though, that the Shack squares very nicely with Freemasonry, and you might find it to be the most succinct compilation of teachings right there, rather than raging across the earth amongst all the different religions. It's
well,
emanating
right
from
Washington. Would you be thinking that would be because of universalism? Because there's no doubt that Freemasonry is universalistic, and I would see the correlation there.
And the male-female things you're talking about, and the crucifixion, and all sorts of things.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks, Meg. Mike, anything else you want to make, Mike, before we let you go?
That's it. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Well, of course, Mike was actually in the occult for many years, so he has a great understanding, of course, of the stronger occult forces that are at work within our society today. Well, I guess it's been Eric Barger. We're talking about his DVD, The Death of Discernment. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a real dearth of discernment, but his title is The Death of Discernment. And people must understand that there is an attack on Christianity today, and the tragedy is most people have no concept of what's happening, and this is why I do what I do, why Eric does what he does. Hang on, Eric, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, Eric, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
You know, if I was going to say any one thing in closing, Dr. Stan, it would be the fact is that if any religious group taught the doctrines and held to the beliefs that we find in the theology of the Shack, it would be labeled a cult by virtually everyone inside of Bible-thinking and Bible-believing communities. It would be the relentless focus of every Bible-believing apologist and minister who would go out of their way to the greatest length to expose it as heresy if this is what a particular religious group taught and believed. Yet this man, and who I don't hold any angst against personally, and frankly who I think is probably a very nice guy, Paul Young, he knows he's teaching this theology, this perverted view of Christianity to the people in his audiences and through his book. I suggest we not support that thinking, that we not give our time, our mind, our money, and our emotions to books like The Shack, and understand that we need to come back and discern everything through the pages of the Word of God. In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon was rewarded not for asking for great riches or wealth or power over his enemies or long life, but he was rewarded by God and blessed by God because he so wanted discernment and to have discerning character and discerning eyes to see and know the truth. That's what I suggest we capitalize on.
Well, I certainly agree with that, but I think that we just must point out what is wrong with this, because it has been so widely accepted in our community where I live here in the North Shore of the Monterey Bay and the whole Monterey Bay area, when there have been so many of our ministries and good ministries and good people who have invited Paul Young to come in and to talk to their congregations and to the children, young, impressionable children who do not have the foundation of the Scriptures to know what is wrong with the theology that is being taught, because there is a theology in this book. It's there, it's very real, and it, of course, is the antithesis of the theology of the Holy Scriptures. Well, Eric, thank you. Go right ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you, Dr. Stan, and that's exactly right. And I'm good to talk to you, and I'm glad you're making this stand.
Oh, God bless, and thanks very much, and certainly will. Our guest has been Eric Barger. Once again, get your telephone number out there.
It's 214-289-5244. That's our ministry line, 214-289-5244. And the web address is ericbarger.com. And encourage folks to go there and make it a resource for apologetics and discernment.
God bless. Thanks very much. Bye-bye, Eric.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope that you, of course, enjoyed our conversation with Eric Berger. We do carry his DVD, The Death of Discernment. We really think it's vitally important that that Christians understand that there is a conspiracy against God. There are organized groups out there that are really trying to destroy the faith, and they're not only working from without, but they're working from within the church. Those of you who heard our program earlier this morning on the American Freedom Network, certainly we had Colonel Ron Ray there, who was on the Presidential Commission, back in the early 1990s, appointed by George Bush to deal with the question of homosexuality and women in the military. And they had David Horowitz speaking. David Horowitz had been raised as a communist, and he testified before this commission under oath to the effect that the communists, and he was part of them, had worked to undermine all of the basic foundations of America, and by the early 1960s they had decided they had destroyed all of the basic foundations of America, and the only thing they still had left to destroy was the military, and that's why they were going to push for homosexuality in the military and women in the military, and then they could undermine the fabric of our military. And of course, after the testimony, Colonel Ray went over to David Horowitz and said, what about the church? I mean, did you have any success in the church? And of course, David Horowitz chuckled and said, that was the easiest thing. We put our people into the seminaries, we put them into the pulpits, and they were preaching, of course, our social gospel. And ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the big problems we have today. We have a lot of ministers who love the Lord, but have been educated in the seminaries where they've undermined their very belief. They've taught them from the writings of Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort were deeply involved in the occult. They wrote the standard text on the Greek dictionary that is used by ministers across America to undermine the very words in the scripture. And after all, if your dictionary is lying to you, well, how will you understand? And that's the problem we have. We have a diabolically clever enemy. That's Westcott and Hort and their Greek dictionary, which is used as the translation for ministers across America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's just so much more to this story, but let me just suggest we have a number of DVDs. We have a four-tape set on the supernatural and a book that goes with that. It's entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil. It's a story written by Joanna Michelson, who is a medium. We have a four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. We have a book on the Diary of a Devil Hunter, and we have a book entitled Sydney Satanic Crimes, and a 4-CD set that goes along with that. The forces of the prince of this world are working within our society today. They're not imaginary. We have 3 talks we've given, which we think are important. The Brotherhood of Darkness, which comes with a book. It's available on DVD or in a book. Our talk on the Forbidden Secret, which, of course, is available in a DVD, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. Our talk on the Financial Armageddon, which explains the collapse of the economic system that we're seeing today. And if you think this is just about over, you're sadly mistaken. This is just a temporary respite. People are getting back into hedge funds. They're getting back in the stock market. And wait till it plunges again. Of course, more and more people are going to be wiped out and impoverished. And the majority of the people are going to lose everything they have because they intend to destroy the value of our currency. And there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency. And they know what they're doing because there are powerful spiritual forces behind these people who are directing the course of our nation, our economic policies, and hold the reins of power today. And that's why you really want to hear my talk on Financial Armageddon, because we tell you who it was who put Barack Obama into power. And the fact that there were millions of people throughout the world who knew about Barack Obama long ahead of time and were praying that he would become the next president of the United States. And these are people who worship a different God. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.